This Health Ranger Report Pandemic Podcast is brought to you by naturalnews.com for uncensored reporting and healthrangerstore.com for lab-tested preparedness supplies such as storable food, full-face medical masks, biostructured silver first aid gel, and iodine, only while supplies last.
Okay, we're going to talk about some coronavirus solutions and how to survive the coming pandemic wave that will likely sweep through the United States and North America, just about everywhere in the world, frankly. This is Mike Adams, and it is February 21st. All of these are downloadable MP3 files, these podcasts, at pandemic.news. So just type pandemic.news into your browser address bar, and you will see the videos, the podcasts, downloadable MP3 files, links to articles and scientific papers as well. We're making that the new hub. Pandemic.news is the place to find all of this information. Now, we've learned a couple of things over the last few days that are very interesting and give you a lot of strategies of how to survive this. I read through all the details of a science paper that talked about the furin-like cleavage site that the virus uses to exploit the glycoprotein structure of respiratory cells and so on and so forth. I posted excerpts from that paper on naturalnews.com, so you can read it there. But the upshot from that paper is that the researchers believe you will have an enhanced immune response, i.e. an interferon response, to this coronavirus if you have had other viral infections first. Now, this is very interesting for lots of reasons. It means that perhaps people who are the most vulnerable are people who do not have a lot of exposure to wild circulating viruses. So you have the classic case of the bubble boy, as we've seen, you know, in Hollywood movies or TV shows, whatever. A bubble boy is an immune compromised person who lives in a bubble because they have no immune system. Well, that person, because they have no exposure, they can't, because they would die from even the common flu, that person would, of course, have a super compromised response as well to the coronavirus infection. Well, do you live in a kind of bubble? Do you live in a way that you don't have much exposure to others? There's something called the hygiene hypothesis. This has been talked about in a lot of discussions about vaccines and immune function. Basically, it means that people who live on farms and who come into frequent contact with farm animals have fewer allergies and stronger immune function when it comes to responding to wild viral infections. There's something about living in with animals and dirt and, you know, barnyard creatures, literally, that makes your immune system stronger. Well, this paper actually sets out exactly why that may be the case, because you then have a heightened interferon response to a new insult to your immune system, such as the coronavirus, which has a very unique S protein structure that allows it to really invade or adhere to respiratory cells and replicate quite readily using components that were actually engineered into the coronavirus from the MERS pathogen that was actually co-developed as a biological weapon. But we're not going to get into all that in this podcast. The point is, if you are a clean freak who always washes your hands and uses hand sanitizer, and you always go get vaccinated, and you never have an infection, and you never have a respiratory insult, then you may actually have less, or let's say lower defenses, or fewer defenses against coronavirus compared to someone who is constantly exposed to various infectious diseases. Now, does that mean you should go out and deliberately infect yourself and just go roll around in a barnyard or something? No, of course not. But it does say something about the hygiene hypothesis and why we are stronger when we have more exposure, even to various pathogens that have low mortality rates. So this is why I've always said I don't take the flu shot. Not that the flu directly relates to this or anything, but I don't take the flu shot. I don't take any vaccines, and I very rarely get any kind of sickness symptoms. In fact, the most serious symptoms I had recently was a respiratory infection that I got over in a period of time, and I was I was inhaling aerosolized colloidal silver that I had made myself, and I was taking antiviral herbs such as elderberry, and I was doing a number of things like that, taking extra zinc and vitamin C, and I got over it, and it was fine. It never put me on my back. You know, I was never stuck in bed for a day. It was just annoying, and it messed with my voice for a few days, which is definitely annoying since I use my voice, obviously, for things like this. But I don't take vaccines because I want the natural exposure. I want to be exposed to full-strength viruses in the wild. I'm not saying that you should do that. If you're an elderly person or you're immunocompromised in some way, that could actually be a risky strategy for you. So, you know, talk to your own naturopath, your own physician, what have you. I'm just telling you what I do. I don't have a doctor and I don't take vaccines. I just go out and get full infections, you know, full exposure. And occasionally I might have symptoms for a few days, but I know that my immune system is recovering with the aid of nutritional supplements that I know work, such as elderberry extract, for example. And also the other day, this was really cool. My wife made a meal of lentils and she put in some herbs that are used in Chinese medicine because she's a Chinese medicine practitioner. And the herbs are known to be part of formulations used in ancient traditional Chinese medicine, TCM, from about 2,500 years ago that helped stop pandemics back, again, thousands of years ago in China. And one of those herbs is star anise. Star anise. So star anise is, it's a Chinese herb, and it's a very complex collection of taste molecules and plant, you know, phytochemicals. And some of them have potent antiviral effects. So my wife just made up this formula, this meal, really. I guess it was food is medicine type of meal. And it was lentils. And she made it just in a crock pot. It was super easy. Just threw a bunch of lentils in there, some water, some onions, some star anise, and then bay leaf went in there. And a couple other herbs that were also really, really just potent and pungent herbs. And I knew as I was eating this, I knew, my goodness, this is an antiviral meal because of the star anise and whatever else went in there. Oh, and she also put clove in there. Clove has a super high antioxidant capability or properties. And so you talk about, actually, I'm kind of half drooling while I'm talking because it was so savory and so delicious. And it didn't take, you know, it was super easy to make. So you can not only have good nutrition and take whatever supplements that your naturopath might recommend or that you know you need, you can also use food as your medicine. And these spices, as I've said before, such as Middle Eastern spices, Indian food, Lebanese food, Pakistani food, you know, all kinds of Middle Eastern type of cuisine, Egyptian food, whatever, it's full of antiviral medicine. So start finding ways to eat your natural medicine, and you will, in fact, have a very positive results when it comes to defending yourself against this kind of these infections. All right, let me move forward to some other practical things. The other thing we know from observing data is that when nations have the first wave of infections, people get better healthcare because the hospital beds are available and that nation is not yet overrun with infected patients. And I think the pattern that's emerging here is that the first wave of people infected in a country, let's take Taiwan or Japan, that first wave has a very high survival rate because they get really good high quality medical care. So I think in that context, that's where we're seeing survival rates of about 98%. Or roughly a 2% mortality rate. But when the hospital beds run out and then people aren't getting critical medical care, that's when the survival rates plummet. And that's where I think we're seeing more like a 15% mortality, or i.e. an 85% survival rate. So you could say, kind of facetiously, you could say, if you're going to get sick from the coronavirus, be among the first to get sick. But of course, that wouldn't be, you know, that's not a real strategy. I'm just kind of saying that half jokingly, but you would get better healthcare if you're among the first, you see. You don't want to get sick in a country where the hospital beds are already overrun. You don't want to get sick in a place where they're building makeshift hospitals like in China that are basically just quarantine death camps. That's not a good situation. So number one, do everything you can to protect yourself nutritionally and with supplements and superfoods and health practices, and have good vitamin D, and you know, don't expose yourself to toxins, and stop smoking, for God's sake. If you still smoke, this is a good reason to quit. It could literally save your life. And at the same time, try not to be in the big wave of infections where the hospitals are overrun, because that's going to be a very bad situation for you. Now, relevant to that, a CDC official just announced yesterday in a CNBC interview that she's warning U.S. hospitals to get prepared for a surge in coronavirus cases. And those are her words, surge in patients. And she's trying to get hospitals to prepare by having plenty of masks and gloves and personnel and logistics and plans in place for the coming pandemic. So the CDC, now it's a very clear pattern where the CDC has openly talked about how outbreaks are coming to America and hospitals are very likely to be, you know, hit with a surge, which means hospitals are probably going to be overrun in America. Remember, there are about 980,000 hospital beds in the entire country, fewer than a million. So less than one bed for every 300 people in America. And right now, about 75% of those beds are already full of patients dealing with, you know, whatever, heart attacks and everything else that they're dealing with that has nothing to even do with the coronavirus. So the number of free hospital beds in America is maybe less than 250,000. So in other words, once you get a spread of this infection beyond about 250,000 people, you're out of hospital beds in the United States. And you may say, oh, it's never going to get that bad. China has only had, what, 75,000, let's say 80,000 infections. But really informed observers think that China is downplaying those numbers possibly by a factor of 10. So China may actually have more like 750,000 infections for all we know, easily 500,000. They're covering it up. So don't be fooled into thinking that this can't get very large in America. In fact, a very good test case for this was the Diamond Princess cruise ship, which I have dubbed the only functioning factory in Asia. It's a coronavirus incubation factory, and it was producing lots of infected patients. The infection rate on that cruise ship, even once they instituted quarantine measures, still seems like it approached about 20% of the total passengers and crew. That's a rough estimate, may not be exact, but it's in that ballpark. About 20% of the people on that cruise got infected. Again, even after they had the quarantine, and it all traced back to one person. So we're talking about, what, 700 or so infections from one person. So you start to do the math on that. That was over about a two-week period. If one person can infect 700 people in 2 weeks in a place where they're trying to stop it, then what does that say about how quickly this can spread in a city where you don't even have a quarantine in place, where you really don't have a way to control the movement of people in a city like you do on a cruise ship? At least on a cruise ship, there are some very determined barriers. You know, people can't just leap off the sides of the ship without drowning. So you got them kind of captured on the ship. They're captive passengers. In a U.S. city, should an outbreak occur in a place like Los Angeles, you can't lock down Los Angeles. People want to be mobile. People will escape. People will flee. In fact, there's a funny anecdote about this, that in Taiwan, there are criminals who evaded capture by the Taiwan police, and they escaped to China. This is like over the past several years, they had escaped to China to avoid prosecution in Taiwan. Some of those criminals are now fleeing back to Taiwan and turning themselves into police because they figure they have a better survival chance in a Taiwan prison than on the streets of China in a quarantine lockdown police state scenario. Isn't that fascinating? It's like, I'd rather be in a Taiwan prison than in a Chinese apartment in the middle of a pandemic. So that just tells you people like to be mobile. They like to flee from the virus. But some people fleeing, of course, have the virus. They're in the incubation period. They're carrying it. And then they spread it because they're fleeing. And when nations start to have lockdowns, like we saw with the Wuhan lockdown in China, which began around, what, January 20th or 23rd, or roughly right around that time, what happened was 5 million people, we now know, fled the city of Wuhan in Hebei province there. And they fled all over China, east to Beijing and south to towards Hong Kong, and they fled all over China. And this has resulted in the spreading of the virus to other major cities across China. So what does this all mean for you in summary? You should expect that if this spreads aggressively in your country, wherever you are, hospitals won't be available very quickly. Unless you're among the very first wave to get infected, you probably won't have access to good quality healthcare. And then your chances of perishing are roughly about 15%. Your chances can be strongly reduced if you have good nutrition and antiviral food and spices and perhaps medicine. They're talking about AIDS drugs and HIV, you know, they're talking about Ebola drugs maybe working. There are prescription antivirals that appear to be working, and that some countries like China are playing around with, like blood plasma therapy and things like that. Oxygen therapy is being used in North Korea. Not that they have, you know, advanced medicine there or anything, but hey, they're trying things, and we're getting reports that some of these things are working. So there are a lot of things that you can do. So you don't have to be a victim of the virus, even if there's a major outbreak in your area. In fact, I think the bigger risk to Natural News readers and the audience that listens to my podcast, I think the bigger risk is actually disruptions of society, economic disruptions, you know, logistics, supply disruptions, food running out, pharmacies not having prescription medications, no antibiotics, because 97% of antibiotics are made in China. And so it's the disruptions that could actually end up costing more lives than the virus itself, depending on sort of how this plays out. So just keep all this in mind. Keep reading my website, pandemic.news. Just type that right into your browser, pandemic.news, and download these MP3 files. You can hear all these. I'm posting typically 2 a day, sometimes 3, including 1 a day on Saturday and Sunday. So you can get updates, and I'm monitoring the research all the time. I'm reading the science papers, I'm monitoring the news, and my staff in Taiwan is giving me translations of Mandarin language, you know, Chinese news. So we are really, I think, the best source right now on the net about this, way ahead of the mainstream media. And even in terms of independent media, we're, you know, we speak Chinese and everything. So we're actually really well informed and ahead of the curve on this topic. So thank you for your support. Pandemic.news is the website to check out, and I will keep you informed. Be safe, be ready. This is nowhere near over. Thank you for listening. When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products, and gel first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, Do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.